Welcome back. Today we're looking at GitHub Gists, which are one of the lightest ways to share code, notes, examples, and small configuration files.
So not a whole project, not a full repository, just a quick shareable thing.
Exactly. A gist can hold one file or several files, and each file can have syntax highlighting if GitHub recognizes the extension. It's useful when you want to show a snippet, save a small note, or give someone a reproducible example without creating an entire repo.
I like that middle ground. Sometimes an issue comment is too cramped, but a new repository feels like overkill.
That's where gists fit nicely. They are small, linkable, and still connected to Git, so you can edit them and keep a history of changes.
The appendix that this episode goes with also talks about GitHub discussions. Before we stay with gists, can we place discussions in the workflow?
Sure, GitHub discussions is the forum-style area for a repository or an organization. It is where questions, ideas, announcements, polls, and community queue, and it can live without turning every conversation into an issue or pull request.
So an issue says there is work to track. A discussion says let's talk, ask, compare, or decide whether there should be work.
Right, use an issue for a bug, a specific feature request, or a task that needs labels, assignees, and closure. Use a discussion for questions, brainstorming, community input, or a topic that may not have one final answer.
And the categories help set that expectation before anyone replies.
They do. Common categories include queue and a for support questions, ideas for brainstorming, announcements for maintainer updates, general for everything else, and show and tell when community members share what they built.
Where does the workshop support hub fit into that?
For alumni, the community access/support repository is the ongoing support home. Read the pinned Start Here resources in discussions. Search existing threads before starting a new one, and use issues when you have a setup blocker or accessibility blocker that maintainers need to track. In accessibility agents' work, remember that the catalog grows over time, so discussions are a good place for questions and ideas, while issues are better for concrete changes.
If I'm on a repository page, how do I get to discussions without hunting around forever?
Look in the main repository navigation near code, issues, pull requests, actions, and projects. If you use keyboard shortcuts, T can move through tab items, and K can help you find links such as discussions. If the tab is missing, that usually means the maintainer has not enabled discussions for that repository.
And organizations can have their own discussions too, right?
Yes, an organization can host community-wide conversations that are not tied to one repository. On a discussion's homepage, categories are usually shown with headings, and a side panel may appear on the left or right depending on the width of the view. That panel can show category counts, pinned items, active discussions, and tags if the project uses them.
Creating one sounds similar to opening an issue, but with a category first.
That's the key difference. Activate new discussion, choose a required category, write a clear searchable title, write the body in Markdown, and start the discussion. For Q&A, phrase the title as a real question because that title becomes part of how other people search later.
What should screen reader users expect in that form?
The path is usually new discussion, category selection, title field, body editor, and start discussion. The body editor behaves like an issue comment editor, so enter focus mode when your screen reader needs it, type your content, and control plus enter can submit. Inside a discussion, replies are often exposed as article elements. NVDA and JAWS users may use it to move among them, while voiceover users may prefer headings, links, or the rotor depending on browser setup.
And participation is more than just replying at the bottom.
Yes, you can reply to the main thread, reply to a specific comment with a nested reply, upvote useful posts instead of adding +1 comments, vote in polls. And in queue and a threads, the discussion author can mark an accepted answer. Low vision users may also notice answered badges, percentage bars after poll voting, and success banners that can appear above the current Zoom position. If the interface changes, GitHub's own documentation is the reference to check.
Okay, back to gists. If I want to make one from the web, where do I start?
Go to gist.github.com while signed in. You'll get fields for an optional description of file name and the file contents. Name the file with a useful extension like notes.md, example.py, or config. JSON because that helps GitHub choose the right formatting.
And then I choose public or secret. This is the part where people can get surprised.
Yes, and it is important. A public gist is visible and discoverable. A secret gist is unlisted, meaning it is not meant to appear in public discovery, but anyone with the link can view it.
So secret does not mean private.
Correct. Don't put passwords, tokens, private keys, personal data, unreleased business information, or anything sensitive in a gist. Treat secret gist links as shareable links, not access control.
What about multiple files? Can one gist hold a small example with a script and a README?
Yes, use add file in the web interface and give each file its own name and content. That is handy for a short demo where you want a README, a code file, and maybe a sample output file all traveling together.
What if I'm already in the terminal and I don't want to open the browser?
If you use the GitHub CLI, you can create a gist with ghgistcreate. For example, ghgistcreate-hello.py public desk small Python example creates a public gist from that file with a short description.
And if I want it unlisted instead?
Use the secret option when you mean unlisted, such as ghgistcreate-config. JSON-notes.md-secret. You can pass more than one file name and the files become part of the same gist. If you're piping text from another command, give the content a file name so people know what they're reading.
After the command runs, how do I know it worked?
The CLI prints the gist URL. Open that URL, check the file names, read the rendered content, and make sure the visibility matches what you intended before sharing it.
You said earlier that gists are connected to Git. Does that mean they have history like repositories?
They do. A gist is a Git repository behind the scenes, so edits create revisions. You can edit in the browser, review the revision history, and see what changed over time.
Can I clone one locally too?
Yes, on the gist page, copy the clone URL or use the CLI with ghgist clone followed by the gist identifier or URL. Once it's local, you can inspect the files in your editor, make changes, commit, and push if you have permission to update that gist.
And comments live on the gist page, not in my local clone.
Right, gist comments are for discussion around the snippet or note. To add one, open the gist page, move to the comment editor near the bottom, type your message, and submit it much like an issue comment.
Gists also have stars and forks. Are those the same as repository stars and forks?
Similar idea, smaller scale. Starring a gist saves or signals appreciation for it. Forking a gist makes your own copy under your account so you can modify it without changing the original.
But I shouldn't expect the whole repository collaboration system.
Exactly. A gist doesn't give you the same project structure, issue tracker, pull request workflow, releases, or automation that a full repository does. It is lightweight sharing, not a complete project home.
How do I find my own gists later?
Use the gist area from your GitHub profile, go directly to gist.github.com or visit gist.github.com followed by your username. Screen reader users can move by headings and links to the gist list, then open titles. You can also browse public gists through GitHub's gist discovery areas or arrive at them through links, search results, and community posts.
Embedding sounds useful. What does it mean to embed a gist in a web page?
It means placing the gist content inside another page, usually a blog post, lesson, or documentation page. On the gist page, GitHub provides an embed script you can copy and paste into an HTML page.
So the page shows the snippet without me recopying all the code by hand.
Yes, and if you update the gist, the embedded version can reflect that update. For accessibility, don't rely only on the embedded script. Add a short plain language summary and a direct link to the gist so people have another route if scripts are blocked, slow, or awkward with their setup.
Give me a few situations where a gist is the right tool.
A good one is sharing screen reader configuration notes, like NVDA settings for GitHub web navigation. Another is a quick markdown note, such as workshop day one notes, where the content is useful but not a project. A third is a code snippet for an answer on Stack Overflow or in a support thread.
And when should I stop and make a real repository instead?
Use a repository when the work has a project shape. A README, folders, tests, issues, pull requests, releases, permissions, or ongoing collaboration. Use a gist when the work is small, self-contained, and easy to understand as a snippet or note.
So a gist is great for showing a pattern. A repository is better for maintaining a thing.
Nicely put. If you expect other people to file bugs, propose changes, run workflows, or follow a roadmap, give the work a repository.
Let's end with the safety check, because secret gists can sound safer than they are.
They can, and the rule is simple. Never put sensitive data in gists. Public gists are discoverable. Secret gists are link accessible. Neither one is a password vault.
If I accidentally put a token in a gist and then delete the gist, am I safe?
No, if a secret or public value is exposed, rotate or revoke it as soon as possible. Deleting the gist removes the page from your account, but you cannot assume nobody copied the content, cached it, or followed the link while it existed.
How do I delete one when I really do want it gone?
Open the gist, find its delete control, confirm the deletion, and then verify it no longer appears in your gists list. For routine cleanup, that's enough. For leaked secrets, cleanup is only the first step. Revocation is the real fix.
So the everyday workflow is, use gists for small shareable material, be clear about visibility, and move to a repository when the work needs a real home.
Exactly, gists are small, but they're not throwaway. Used well, they make examples easier to share, easier to revise, and easier for someone else to understand.